8:34 a.m. and I am on the floor in my kitchen and I'm recording this. Let's talk about mental health, suicide in the Black community. I recently heard about the news, Chelsea Chris. She was 30 years old. She was a model, a television correspondent, Miss USA 2019. She was also a lawyer, and she had a master's degree in business administration. She was only 30. She was beautiful, smart, and successful. Everything people thought that, you know, she had it all. You know, she had a successful career. She, you know, had a beautiful life. She had money. She had fame, semi-fame, and, you know, and that's what people think, that, you know, you have money, you have success, you have fame. What is there else in the world would you possibly want? You have it all. You can't possibly be depressed. You can't possibly feel alone. And this just shows that we don't know exactly what anyone is going through. When I heard the news, I was in shock. I didn't know her, but I looked her up, and I was like, oh my god, I can't believe she would do that. And excuse me if I start coughing or anything like that, because I have COVID, and I'm recording this, and I'm a little sick. I got my water next to me, you know, so you will hear me taking water breaks, which I'm about to do right now. But anyways, I was in shock, because, you know, looking her up, and I'm like, wow, she accomplished a lot, and she was absolutely stunning, stunning woman. And you would never think someone like that would be depressed or feel down or want to end their life. This also has me thinking about Regina King's son. His name was Ian Alexander Jr. He was a singer, songwriter, DJ, and he was also 26 years old, very young. And they both were Black, as I am a Black woman. And I feel like mental health and depression doesn't get talked about a lot in the Black community. I mean, it's getting talked about more often, but not as much as it should be. You know, mental health and suicide and depression has a huge stigma on the Black community. We don't talk about it enough. Black people, especially Black men, don't want to get help. They don't want to talk to a therapist. They don't want to talk to a counselor. They think they don't need it. They think they can handle it on their own. And the next thing you know, it gets overwhelming, and they can't handle it on their own. I'm really trying to get through this, and I'm going to try to make this as short as possible, because it's hard for me to talk, actually. But I wanted to get through this and talk about it, because, you know, coming from somebody who has suffered from depression, still is, who, when I was in my early 20s, I try to, you know, commit an unlawful act. I don't want to say the word, but so I kind of sort of know where, when you feel like you're stuck and you can't get further in life, it's nothing but an illusion. You feel like there's no way out, and the only way to get out and to stop the pain is to just end it all. And you feel like no one cares, no one wants to, no one gives it, no one cares, no one wants, you have no one to talk to. You feel like, oh, if I go, no one will care, it won't affect anybody. You know, or sometimes people are holding on just because they know that it will affect their loved ones. Or sometimes they like, they'll be fine without me. They'll be better without me. When that's further from the truth. And before I start going any further, if you feel triggered or if you feel like you need to talk to somebody, the suicide hotline is 1-800-273-TALK 8255. You can also text STRENGTH, the crisis text line, at 741-741, or go to suicidepreventionlifeline.org. If you feel like you are having triggering thoughts or that you feel alone, I suggest you contact those hotlines for professional help. I am not a therapist. I am not a counselor. I am none of that. I'm just a woman having an opinion about what recently happened. And about Chelsea and Ian, you know, they were both very young. They both had a life ahead of them, a promising life ahead of them, but they couldn't see it. They couldn't see it. They wanted out. I don't know why. I don't know what they were going through. And everybody around Chelsea said, oh, she was such a bright light. She was always smiling, always having fun. You know, nice person. And it always ended up being those people. You know, sometimes you need to check up on your strong friends. Sometimes you need to check up on that coworker or that friend that's always smiling and always nice. Because sometimes they are the ones that's hurting the most. And they know how to hide it. They are the ones that knows how to keep it all inside. And, you know, they know how to put on an act in front of people. And then when they get home, they're crying. They're not happy. They feel alone. So I'm about to cough. Give me a minute. So sorry for that. But, hey, it's real. It's COVID season. I have COVID. It is what it is. But so I'm just saying, like, you know, mental health in the Black community isn't talked about a lot. And our parents, some of our parents didn't go to therapy when they needed it. They went to church instead. That's for people who have religious parents and things like that. They're like, oh, Black people don't see therapists. We don't talk to therapy. We view therapy as white people. You know, white people are the only ones that go to, like, couple counseling or therapy or any type of therapy when that's farther from the truth. We also don't have enough Black therapists. A lot of people of color don't feel comfortable talking to people that don't look like them as well. We don't trust it. We don't want to tell people our business like that. So a lot of people, they turn to social media and they tell their business on social media, or they tell their business to a close friend. They use their friend as a therapist. They use a close family member as a therapist, or you know, they keep it to themselves. And that's something that we shouldn't do. We should never keep our feelings for ourselves. We should express our feelings. We should talk to a professional to get the proper help and diagnosis that we need. If we need any type of, you know, any type of medication or anything like that. Black and African American communities and mental health. 13.4% of the U.S. population identifies as Black or African American. Of those, over 16% reported having a mental illness in the past year. That is over 7 million people. More people than the populations of Chicago, Houston, and Philadelphia combined. So, there are people who say they have mental health issues, but they're not seeking the proper guidance and counseling that they need. And that is a problem. You know, I feel like a lot of Black people are afraid to admit that they have a problem, afraid to get the help that they need. Let's face it, Black people, we do not trust the government. We do not trust the healthcare field, especially Black women, you know, because we've been experimented on for a very long time. It's a known fact. It's throughout history. If you look it up, you will know that, you know, why Black people don't really trust the medical field that much. You know, we feel like the medical field isn't made for us. Doesn't care for us, you know. And like, again, we don't feel comfortable talking to people that don't look like us. And a lot of Black people, again, like I said, think that mental health and therapy is for white people. Black and African Americans hold beliefs related to stigma, psychological openness, and help seeking, which in turn affects their coping behaviors. Studies were not very open to acknowledge psychological problems, but they were somewhat open to seek mental health services. 30% of the participants reported having a mental illness or receiving treatment for a mental illness. Black and African American men are particularly concerned about stigma. You know, they don't want that stigma of being crazy, you know, because, you know, if you grew up in the hood, I mean, not all Black people grew up in the hood. I'm one of the Black people. I grew up in the hood. So if you, I'm talking off my experience. So if you grew up in the hood and you, it's a stigma of, you know, the crackhead and then the homeless person being the one with the mental illness, and that's why they crazy, that's why they act the way they act. So you don't want the same diagnosis as them, because then you're like, wait, I'm not a bum, I'm not crazy, I'm not like that. How the hell do I have a mental health issue? I don't have a mental health issue because I'm not a bum on the street. I'm not out here acting crazy. You know, mental illness and mental health comes in different forms. You know, I'm not an expert on mental health, but and on depression like that, but it comes in different forms. And I feel like a lot of Black people don't want that stigma of being crazy, of taking medicine, of being viewed different, or, you know, because we already view different, we already viewed other, so we don't want that to add on to our Blackness. You know, Black and African American people are more often diagnosed with schizophrenia and less often diagnosed with mood disorders compared to white people with the same symptoms. Additionally, they are offered medication or therapy at the lower rates than the general population. So treatment issues, a lot of Black people are diagnosed with schizophrenic, they're not diagnosed as bipolar disorder or anything like that. Well, most of them could be bipolar, not schizophrenic. You know, Black and African American people are overrepresented in our jails and prisons. Black and African American people make up 13% of the general U.S. population, but nearly 40% of the prison population. In 2016, the imprisonment rate of Black and African American men, 2,417 per 100,000 Black male residents, was more than 6 times greater than that for white men. And the imprisonment rate for Black and African American women, 97 per 100,000 Black and African American female residents, was almost double that for white women, 49 per 100,000 white female residents. Black and African American people with mental health conditions, specifically those involving psychosis, are more likely to be in jail or prison than people of other races. Because less than 2% of the American Psychology Association members are Black or African American, some may worry that mental health care procedures are not culturally competent enough to treat their specific issues. So a lot of, you know, African American people feel like, you know, if I have some sort of mental health issue, that I might be misdiagnosed, which is understandable, that I might get more medication than the average person, which is understandable, that I might be treated differently from the average person, which is understandable. You know, stigma and judgment prevents Black and African American people from seeking treatment for their mental illness. Research indicates that Black and African Americans believe that mild depression and anxiety would be considered crazy in their social circles. Like I said before, you know, Black people don't want to be considered other, or add more to their Blackness, you know, because being Black is hard enough, and then you add on, I have a mental health issue, I'm depressed, I'm this, I'm that, and, you know, and especially Black women, we have this stigma of being strong, that we can handle anything that's thrown at us, and that we can do conquer anything and conquer the world. And it's complete BS. You know, also there's lack of access to mental health with the Black community, because, you know, we don't have access, we don't have the right insurance. You know, therapy isn't a cakewalk. It's expensive, and unfortunately not too many Black people can afford therapy or the proper therapy as well. So that's why a lot of people, especially Black people, suffer in silence, and they just rather deal with it on their own. So I get it, I understand it, but I also feel like that's not an excuse. I think that Black people need to talk about their mental health issues more often. They need to speak up about it. They need to try to seek the proper help. And if you feel like that therapist or that person does not have your best interest in heart, drop them and find somewhere else. I really don't want you hear about another SI situation. I don't want people harming themselves, feeling like they can't talk to anybody. I'm no therapist, I'm no counselor, but I feel like this personally for me, what helped me with my depression is journaling, meditation, prayer, talking to myself, talking to yourself, you know, expressing your feelings, like, out, you know, just talking it out to yourself, saying like, oh my God, I feel this way today, write it down. Look up journal prompts that can help you. It's tons of journal prompts on, I forgot the name of it. It's called Pinterest. When you go on Pinterest, there's tons and tons of journal prompts on Pinterest about depression and how you can turn your journal into like a mood journal. And you could write out some journal prompts and, you know, just see where your mood is at today. And write it out, you know, meditate, clear your mind, work out, eat healthy. I really, you know, there are foods that can change your mood. You know, eating the proper foods, you know, not eating the unhealthy foods, working out, talking to somebody, having a loved one or a friend that you can call when you feel like, okay, today isn't a good day. I need to talk to somebody. I really need to talk to somebody. I really need to talk to somebody, so let me call my friend right now and talk to her or him. Let me call my family member right now, talk to her or him, or let me call this hotline right now so I can talk to somebody, because right now I'm feeling triggered. Right now I don't know what's going on and I'm not in a good mood and I feel like I'm going to do something crazy. So I need to talk to this person, get a accountability partner to help you. Like, okay, hey partner, today is not a good day for me. I don't know what's going on. I'm feeling crazy. I need you to calm me down. You know, something like that, or find you a comfort item that can help you calm yourself down. Like, it could be a ring, it could be a pillow, it could be, I don't know, whatever is a comfort item. Grab that comfort item and walk around your house with it. Scream your lungs out if you need to. Go for a walk, get fresh air, do something, you know, that can help you, because there is help out there. There is things that you can do to prevent feeling this way. It's not going to be easy. It's not. Nothing in life is easy, you know, but it can be prevented. It can be prevented. You have so much to look forward to, so much to live for. And, you know, there's so much to live for, so much to look forward to. And I really don't even know what else to say, because, like I said, I'm no expert in this. I just wanted to talk about Chelsea and Ian and how they life mattered, and how they had so much to live for. And it's so sad that they didn't see that they didn't see how precious their life were, how they could change the world. And in a way, they are changing the world, because I do not want their death to go in vain. I'm sorry if you hear any noise in the background, but I do not want their death to go in vain, because they life mattered. And I really feel like, unfortunately, their death might open up some people's eyes and say, hey, maybe I need to seek some help. You know, maybe I need to try to go talk to a therapist or a counselor, or try to, you know, seek a mental health hospital, you know, because I don't want to end my life just yet. So again, I'm gonna end this here with the suicide hotline, 1-800-273-TALK, 8255, or text strength, the crisis text line, at 741-741, or go to suicidepreventionlifeline.org. If this helped in any way, thank you for listening. Share if you feel like this can help anybody. And thank you guys for listening. And I will try to post more often, because I've been MIA, I know. But I most definitely will be posting more often on this podcast. But thank you guys for listening, and bye.